When we were making the book, Sri Guru and His Grace, thought to, they can be asked to just keep it down a little bit during this time. Pardon me? Oh, okay. So, because there's the greatest necessity of the devotees to understand the significance of Guru. That's always there. Although it seemed more poignant at that time. And because out of our own personal necessity, we had approached Srila Guru Maharaj in the absence and the aftermath of the disappearance of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And Srila Guru Maharaj spoke so much that it seemed appropriate to assemble all of the many things that he said and put it in one publication. Because what led us to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj out of, you know, great necessity was in the aftermath, the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Swami Maharaj. And because our position was like that of, I don't understand why you can't be quiet at this time. Just, yeah, so then what? Should we speak after that? I think you can try harder. You know, I shouldn't have to compete. It's only, I'm going to talk for 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So if like for 50, use sign language for 15 minutes. Text, it's supposed to be the text messaging generation. They all have smartphones. You can just say, add more salt. Text, more salt. I don't think so. Anyway, like orphan children, Guru Maharaj said, they don't know the wealth that's left to them by their parents. It's beyond their capacity to know that. Their children, that their father is some kind of a billionaire who has so much in his possession and is leaving and bequeathing all this wealth to them. They don't really grasp that. They may know by their own limited experience, they may think, oh, we hear our father is very wealthy. What are the specific nature, depth, degree, magnitude, extent of that wealth is unknown to them. And we see in the instance where children are separated from their parents at an early age, they don't know how to process that sort of grief. That's why we sing the songs of Narottam Thakur. He is the conduit for the processing of this sort of grief. Often this question comes, what is appropriate, or what is deep, too deep, too high. Krishna consciousness, Rupa Goswami, what is his book called about Krishna consciousness? The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. So if in the description of an ocean, someone says, well, that's very deep. Yes, we're describing an ocean. So in the description of an ocean, you might expect that there will be descriptions that are very deep. So from there's the shore of the ocean, the shallows, but then the great depths of the ocean. And Rupa Goswami says, those devotees, the higher, pure devotees, they're like these great aquatic creatures who are swimming in the depths. They're plunging the depths of that ocean. And it's them that we seek to offer ourselves in service to their servants, servants, servants. And we revere their statements. When Srila Guru Maharaj was approached, he is quoting Raghunath Das Goswami. Where do we hear these things? From Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, from Raghunath Das Goswami. When Ramananda Samvad, which Guru Maharaj says for him is the key to understanding everything. So Mahaprabhu is asking Ramananda of dukkha means suffering. Of all the types of suffering that we could consider, he says, which one is gurutara? And guru has various meanings. One as, you know, heavy, like heaviest. Gurutara means the heaviest. Very often after someone's passing, people speak of having a heavy heart. It is with a heavy heart that I now express something. Right? So there's that type of heaviness, the heaviness of heart. But it also means, you know, the worst in this context, the worst type of suffering. It's odd that the thing that means the highest can also mean the worst, because the worst in this sense means going in another direction. So Srila Swami Maharaj, he rendered that as unbearable. Of all the types of suffering that there may be, he's saying, which one is unbearable, or which one is the worst, or which one makes the heart the heaviest? And we could think, as, you know, neophyte practitioners, like, oh, it must be, you know, Krishna, viraha, separation from Krishna. That answer must be coming. Of all unbearable, that must be the ultimate unbearable suffering. And certainly that is unbearable suffering. But in this context, it says Krishna bhakta, Krishna's devotee, Krishna bhakta, viraha bina, nahi deki para. There's no greater sort of suffering than the pain of separation from the devotee of Krishna. Because without the devotee of Krishna, there is no Krishna. Not really, not substantially. We hear, in the absence of the, and mention that song, Raghunath Das Goswami. He is the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. He is saying, without connection of the superior devotee being under their care and guidance, everything else is superfluous. It's not meaningful or substantial, including my life, Vrindavan, even Krishna himself. Without you, in that prayer, the Vilapakusa Manjali, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchad, taken to be a direct prayer to Srimati Radharani, but Gurudev, seen as Radharani's delegation. So he's saying, without you, there is no Krishna, Vrindavan, and purpose to my life. Says sometimes Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he would say, with regard to Srila Guru Maharaj, that, you know, he said, one word from Srila Guru Maharaj is sufficient to make us his slaves forever. He possesses that type of devotion to express that type of feeling and sentiment. So when we approach Srila Guru Maharaj, we're unable to process or articulate what we are feeling. But Srila Guru Maharaj, he began to express those things, and perfectly. And that's where we first heard this example that when I asked him later about it, he said he couldn't recall where it was from. He said, as far as I'm concerned, if it's just your example, that's everything and we worship that. He said, no, the Guru, lotus, Krishna the sun, Guru water, Shisha the lotus. He couldn't recall. And he and Judge of Armor sat there and scanning the Puranas, and at the time they couldn't recall. I told Guru Maharaj, it doesn't matter, I'm just asking from a publishing point of view, if I have to give an attribution. But it's so perfect. As the devotees, with heavy hearts, in the aftermath of Prabhupada's disappearance, approached him, Guru Maharaj said, Sisha is like the lotus, Guru is like the water all around, and Krishna is like the hot sun. See, when the lotus is situated in the water, one word for lotus is Ambuja, who's born from the water. Actually, Ambuja. Situated in the water, then the hot sun nourishes the lotus. But take away the water, and that very sun burns the lotus. So when the shisha, lotus shisha, is safely situated in the sheltering waters, the lotus feet of Guru, then Krishna, who's very intense by magnitude, infinite magnitude of intensity, sweetness, charm, beauty, love, affection, then the shisha, lotus, thrives and blossoms. Vidyavadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punam ritas fadaram sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. It's like a, it's peculiar, vidyavadu, like a new bride, like the blushing, blossoming, blooming new bride. In the absence that of the asrai, vigraha, guru, then the very sun Krishna burns the lotus. So Guru Maharaj is saying, that is how guru-centric we are, how essential to the disciple, to have a vital spiritual life. And we know in the Govinda virahiname yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravrshayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam Govinda virahiname. Govinda viraham. Mahaprabhu speaking, voicing Radharani's sentiments of unbearable separation from Krishna. But Guru Maharaj said, Das Goswami goes a step further, as if that's possible. Why? Because Ranganath Das Goswami is a devotee of Radharani. Radharani, this, what's being expressed in Shikshastakam, it's her sentiments of separation from Krishna. A moment is like a yuga, tears pouring like torrents of rain, the world appearing void, sunyaitam, sunya. But Raghunath Das Goswami is expressing in his poem the separation from her. She's the ultimate Krishna Bhakta. He's saying, being separated from her, then there's no use, apparent use or value of Krishna, Vrindavan, and my life. And not only that, he said that Guru Maharaj, so in this other prayer, he says, Sunyaite Mahagoshtam Girindro Jagarayate Vyagram Tundayate Kundam Jivatu Rahitasyame. Saying, and now, in your absence, those things that were in your presence were a source of inspiration. What? In his case, he's saying, Govardhan, which is now Govardhan, like the ultimate aspiration. It appears to me like a serpent, a giant python coming to swallow me, seeing it as antagonistic. And Radha Kunda, the holy of holiest places, said like a tiger's gaping jaws coming to devour me. So Guru Maharaj is drawing this contrast. Govinda Virahin Sunyayate Jagatsarvam, seeing the world is void. He's saying, but Das Goswami is saying, those things which were once a source of inspiration to me are now dreadful. And so he said, how much dependent we are upon connection with Sri Guru, the lotus feet of Sri Guru, that divine personality. So we can say, in the presence of Srila Guru, Srila Govinda Maharaj, so many things were a constant source of joy, service aspiration. And in his absence, we think otherwise. It's a particular type of sentiment or feeling that he himself expressed the time of the departure of Guru Maharaj. He's saying, you've asked me to do so many things. And he accepted all of those things. But this last thing, the disappearance, pastimes, he was pleading with him not to make him experience that. So, as Krishna himself in his parting instructions to Uddhava, says in 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Madbhaktya, Madbhakta Puja Abhyadika, that the worship of my devotee takes precedence of the worship of myself. So, and the first book that we made for Srila Guru Maharaj, he gave the title, The Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful. Saying here, out of our own inner necessity, we're searching for Krishna. Saying, but later, so many books went by, then came Loving Search for the Lost Servant. He said, here, an inversion has taken place in that As the devotees are searching for Krishna, here we want to show that the Lord is searching for his devotees. And then he would say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Say, and it is a loving search. As we are searching for him, he brought this very sweet and good news to us, lest we think it's a one-sided affair, right? Where everyone is searching for divinity in different ways. But then Guru Maharaj is here happily telling us, and he's also searching for you. He's searching for his lost servants. We're told in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when Gopakumar finally, after going through chanting his mantra, going through so many different levels of the subtle regions of the heavenly planets to the Viroja River, Nirvana, Brahmajyoti, Vaikuntha, the southern hemisphere of the spiritual world, to Ayodhya, Dwarka, at last in Vrindavan, his first day in Vrindavan proper, searching for the house of Nanda Maharaj. That he meets some devotees and he's trying to, where is the house of Nanda Maharaj? Where is Krishna? And they look so upset and disturbed. And he's thinking, I've now entered the highest region of the spiritual world. And he's saying, these people are either the most miserable people I've ever met, and I just went through all the different levels of existence. They're either the most miserable people I've ever met, or they're experiencing something internally that I'm not totally acquainted with. And so, because when he'll say, where's the house of Nanda Maharaj? He's saying, like, I'm sorry, you know, excuse me. And they're grumbling, they're rough. Then he can understand, why are they so miserable? It's because Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys have gone deep into the Vrindavan forest to herd the cows. They're feeling separation from them. They can't tolerate it. It's a few hours. They can't tolerate it. Their lives are over. Their lives are finished. Right? Just like we know in the regular world, the notion of romantic love, that people in the initial stages of, you know, deep infatuation, they cannot bear to be separated from one another for even the briefest amount of time. That must have its place in the original. But we may think it is one-sided. Yes, we're searching for the Lord of our hearts. Pratyanga lage kande pratyanga more. Our correspondent who can satisfy every hankering, every atom of hanker of the soul's hankering, who can reciprocate that? Means the absolute personality of Godhead, reality of the beautiful Krishna. But after, it's the end of the day, and we're told first, what does Gopakumar see? Some like cloud, moving cloud coming in this direction. Within that, there's some musical sounds. He can hear some music, this big movement. What is it? A cloud of Gauraja, the dust kicked up from the hooves of cows. So there's this huge cloud of cow dust moving towards him, with sound, music, and other things. Then gradually start seeing some shape and some forms, and comes to see, there's Krishna and Balaram and the cow, and they're all singing and dancing and herding their cows. It's at the end of the day. And Guru Maharaj is saying, the beauty of Krishna with the Gauraja in his hair, and his hair is messed up from all the cowherding, Guru Maharaj called him, agreeable negligence. He looks very beautiful that way. A layer of cow on his face and the hair, and they're singing and playing. But then Krishna sees off in the distance Gopakumar and starts running toward him. And Gopakumar is running toward Krishna, and this is his welcome day back in the spiritual world. And we're told they embrace, and Krishna faints. We're thinking, no, the devotee should faint. That would be, no, Krishna faints. And then what happens is everyone's angry at Gopakumar. They're saying, who is this person? What has he done to Krishna? He's just entered the spiritual world. We think, oh, now it should just say, and then they lived happily ever after. No, it's his first day. Now everyone, they're thinking, how do we get rid of this person who's caused this to Krishna? And what has he done? Maybe it's some kind of demon in disguise, because they have so many different types of pastimes there. Then gradually, Krishna's revived. He comes back to Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna, he's looking at Gopakumar. Balaram tells everyone to calm down, because he knows everything. Then when Krishna comes and he looks lovingly at Gopakumar, they're embracing, and Krishna says, how could you stay away from me for so long? That's how he feels. That's why he's fainted. And he said, and when you took this birth, I knew in this lifetime you're going to come back to me. You can't understand how much anticipation I had. An eagerness, and anticipating that you would come. But how could you stay away from me for so long and deprive me of the wealth that is in your heart, which is Krishna Prem? So Guru Maharaj told us, it's a loving search for the Lord of his lost servants. As we're searching for him, he's also searching for us. So only through the devotees do we come to understand the actual heart of Krishna. They are our advocates. Ahang bhakta paradino hyasvan tantra iva dvija sarubir rasna hridayo bhaktara bhakta jana priya bhakta jana priya. Think. Krishna is declared as being independent in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Guru Maharaj is saying, quoting Hegel, reality is for itself and by itself. He exists to fulfill his own purpose. But what is his purpose? Love, affection, loving affectionate pastimes. That's his purpose. Creation, maintenance, annihilation, all secondary functions. His purpose is loving exchange, heart-to-heart loving exchange. And that Krishna, who is supreme and infinite, says, although I'm infinite and independent, in the presence of devotion, it's as if I lose my independence. I come under the control of my devotee. So the Bhagavatam, which is the book of Krishna, is telling us, nirmat saranam satam. If you want to understand the secret of this book, you want to understand the secret of Krishna conception, then you have to understand the position of my devotee. My devotee is everything to me. Through them, you'll get my connection, not otherwise. Govinda balabhe radhe parte tomahang sada. The other Bhatta Raghunath, and then like it says, Bhatta Juga means two. Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, the two Bhattas. There's two Raghunaths, two Bhatta. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Govinda Ballabha, Krishna is telling us, you want to have connection with me? I want to have connection with you? That's not my department. That's the department of my beloved, my dearest, Srimati Radharani. She makes those arrangements. You want to have a connection with me? You go through her. Then you'll get more Krishna than you ever dreamed was possible. So when we come in connection with the devotee, then Krishna becomes, who's otherwise abstract, distant, becomes personal, palpable, accessible. So Srila Gurudev, he helped us to understand that with regard to Srila Guru Maharaj. That as far, his life was just an offering to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj. I never heard him express some personal consideration as we do, we often do, and everyone, we're so egocentric. And I never heard him speak like that. All he needed to know is something is the service of Guru Maharaj, then he's eager for that. He's jumping for that. He's giving himself to that. No personal consideration. So when he would sing the Sri Rupa Manjari Pada song, say mora mantra, you know, was it say vrata say tapa, say mora mantra japa. My vrat, my tap, my mantra, my japa. What is it? The service of the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Not that I'm chanting a mantra, so I'll get that. It's what Guru Maharaj calls post-dated check. Saying, no, Sharanagati, surrender, he said, is cash. The other stuff, post-dated check. Do this and one day you'll get that. Gurudev is smarter than that. You know, serve, give yourself wholesale to the lotus feet of your guru. That's cash. The cash of Sharanagati in the hand. And what about your mantra and japa? My guru, Maharaj, he's chanting Krishna Nam. He's expressing all these things. I'm serving him. I don't want any disturbance to come to him. And that divine plane that he occupies with his divine thinking, and again, it's not imaginary, it's substantial. We're reverse indicated oriented. We think all of this is substantial, right? And we're suspicious about the thought world, you know, conceptualization. I think, oh, you know, this is something you can depend on until it all vanishes. Right? Like they say in Mississippi, it is what it is until it ain't. Right? So this is whatever this is, it's going to be that way for a while until it isn't anymore. It will vanish. But we're not here. Today is not a vanishing. Really, we're told, prakat, aprakat. Appearance, disappearance. Means visible, not visible. The sun occupies a particular position. It appears. It has, you could say, a pastime of appearing to rise in the sky and then be over noon and then sunset. But actually it has, in this context, an eternal position. So the devotee appears for some time, plays in a particular way. Then there's the sunset of those pastimes. So we take it, the aprakat, the non-manifest world. As Guru Maharaj wrote about Srila Saraswati Thakur, saying, Srimati Radharani woke up one morning in divine pastimes of Krishna and felt some deep separation from her servitor, Nayanamani Manjari, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and called him up, took him into that plane. So we can only think, Srila Guru Maharaj, he's feeling separation from Srila Gurudev and seeing his pastimes here complete, took him into that plane. And this leaves us in a very precarious situation. How will we think now? How will we go on now? Guru says, Sri Guru in His grace, this is the test of the true disciple, that in the absence of the Guru, how will they stand? How will they go on? They were a disciple in show or substantially a disciple. And we can now do that. And if there is some heart, some love, some affection, that separation is pulling on that heart to pull us into that plane. It is an examination of the heart, actually, how the heart will stand in the absence. So all of the real substantial basis of Krishna consciousness is founded on feelings of separation. That leads one to hunger or hanker for association, for connection, is absence. As they say, the saying goes, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That will be the test if there's something in the heart that's pulling, something's pulling the heart into that plane where Srila Gurudev, Srila Guru Maharaj, our Guru Varga, where they're eternally situated. So, Hare Krishna. I'm there are senior disciples of Srila Gurudev here. I've already spoken for some time. Bhakti Lalita can say something. Paramananda Prabhu, Satya Sundar. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Raj Tirobhav Mahamahotsvatiti Ki Jai.
Satya should say first, and then we'll follow.
It's all good.
Forget about it.
Hare Krishna.
On the English or?
English, he's saying. Yeah. Should he speak English or? As you wish.
Okay. Bueno, pues vamos a hablar español.
Yes, you can speak all three. When Saraswati Thakur was told once by some man in South India, he said, Swamiji, sometimes you're speaking English, then Sanskrit, Bengali, and if you will just speak, and he named one, then we can understand. And Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur said to them, he said, I'm not speaking English, I'm not speaking Sanskrit, I'm not speaking Bengali. He said, the upper world, I'm trying to represent that to you, and whatever language will mediate that, that's what I'm trying to do.
When today is difficult feelings coming, and because of disappearing of spiritual leader, and it's a mutual feeling of sadness and memory of happiness. But feelings of experience to be with spiritual master, they are never leave our heart. They stay with us in very deep part of of our consciousness, if we have that. And just by association with the people who give us affection, love, and highest knowledge, of purpose, who we are, and what we for, what is our destiny, why we're here, those things have become actually less important. In spiritual books, sometimes we hear, like, you have to understand who you are, but just to be nearby spiritual master, you will understand that question is very formal. It's not important after all. The important is association and service to spiritual master. It doesn't matter what we're gonna know and learn from huge database of Vedic culture with all cycles, incarnations, and the game, and rasas, and gopis, and you know, there we can go on and go on, and you know, it's never stop, never end. But after, you know, spending at least sometimes with great Vaishnavas, we start to understand all this knowledge is so great. And at the same time, for us, is maybe, I don't know if I'm going to say right, but Goswami Maharaj will correct me if I'm going wrong, but it's become less important and most important. Everything turned to the service of spiritual master. And nothing can be more pressure than just associate in service. That's what I heard. That's what I try to learn. It's very difficult to say I have learned that. No, I don't. But at least I appreciate it, that at least I have some cue to maybe understand these points. Gurudev was incredibly spiritually and charming person, and not only spiritually, like our man of charms. Sometimes it's maybe it's good, bad example, maybe it's good example. You know, it's a pond of the on the water. It's very flat normally, and those days when sun is high and so hot, and pond like surface of the water is so flat, it's like that. It's just some reflection there, you know. But soon as something like flop, you know, on the top of surface, like little rock, or something from the trees or anything, you know, then wrinkles coming, you know, from in the middle of those wrinkles. These kind of wrinkles, they appear in our heart, in the mood of service, you know, after we have, and Gurudev is somebody who's produced those wrinkles, is some
waves.
These seeds, yeah, produce those waves, you know, it's in our very inertic life, because we think, well, we do this life so good, you know, we have that, or we have plans to do that, and we succeed or unsucceed in certain things, and we think our life is so, have so many stages, and we have so many emotions and friends, but generally, after all, if we comparing this to the spiritual world, we understand that the level we think is this very static water, without movements, without any activities that can bring us to the highest plane. And Gurudev, its association with him, they born this, he's produced this, he's give us potency to start to move this water, you know, to make those little waves. And somebody maybe have tsunami, but that is important part, and I think I'm gonna give to Pramananda right now microphone. which is...
Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Guru.
If you would forgive me, I will speak in Russian, Maharaj.
Yeah. No forgiveness required.
Мы услышали очень много, на самом деле, от Госвами Махараджа, от Исунда Прабху, как обычно. Раскрыл очень интимные, глубокие моменты отношения с Гуру. И как Махарадж уже подчеркнул, уход Гурудева – это очень тяжелый момент в жизни ученика. И все его переживают глубоко и тяжело, но по-разному. Гурудев очень часто любил рассказывать, как он присоединился к движению, как он присоединился к Гуру Махараджу. И всегда он заканчивал свой рассказ тем, что описывал, как Гуру Махарадж связал его узами любви. Меня не привлекла философия, меня не привлекли идеалы, меня не привлекла сам процесс. Меня привлек Гуру Махарадж, и та любовь, ту теплоту, которую он на меня пролил. И эти узы любви, они связали меня навечно и заставили меня остаться с Гуру Махараджем и посвятить ему всю свою жизнь. И подобным образом Гурудев, он привлекал своих учеников. Я могу сказать за многих, что именно по этой причине, именно из-за этого потока любви, который шел от него подобно нескончаемому водопаду, многие из нас присоединились и остались в лотосном стопе Шрилы Гурудева. Конечно, когда Шрила Гурудев закончил свои проявленные игры, для всех было очень тяжело. Это была пустота, которую было очень сложно заполнить. На самом деле невозможно заполнить. Поэтому в какой-то момент, когда эти переживания достигли определенного апогея, ученики начали искать прибежище, они начали искать Гурудева. Мы ощущали его присутствие после ухода, но мы не могли, крайне я не мог понять, где это, где нам нужно искать. Мы начали искать его наставления, мы начали слушать его наставления, мы начали прислушиваться к его желаниям, мы начали думать, что же нам нужно делать сейчас. Он отдал нам столько, мы же должны что-то сделать, по крайней мере. Наступил как раз тот период, который Махарадж описал как тест, экзамен для ученика. Что делать дальше? И постепенно мы начали видеть Шрилу Гурудева, видеть в его наставлениях и видеть его в сердцах, его последователей. Те, кто отдали себя его служению, нашли место в его сердце, и Гурудев проявился в их сердце. Таким образом, они не отличны от формы Шрилы Гурудева. Поэтому на данный момент я нахожу прибежище в его наставлениях, я нахожу прибежище в вайшнавах, его искренних последователей. Таким образом, несмотря на то, что Гурудев ушел в непроявленный мир, который мы не можем видеть, говоря о нашей слепоте, он проявился снова. Как бы его уход, он стал каким-то образом его явлением новое, по-новому и более глубокой форме в жизни учеников. Я хотел передать Бхакти Лалите, что с много времени. Джай Шрила, Шрила Бхакти Сундар Говинда Дева Госвами Махарадж Ки.
Джай.
So this year, on this lunar day, is the 6th anniversary of our Srila Gurudev's disappearance. And just 6 years seems like so many years. Feels like 60 years. And clearly this world is a changed place. It's no longer the same world I remember it being. Kali Yuga's increased and drought and burning up, everything's drying up. And within my heart also, I feel that. So much has been given to us by our Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, and so much loss also from his withdrawn withdrawal from this material world. But we know we have to go on, life must go on. He's given us enough to last lifetimes, taught us by his example and given us more than enough directives and beautiful compositions and talks and personal instructions to carry us through the rest of our lives. So we are serving in his separation and surrounded by his devotees who are our life force, sustaining us while we continue our lives through these trying times. And always on this day, this is the sixth year, we wake up in the morning and we think what day is today, what happened 6 years ago, and reliving that, being in his presence for his disappearance was an unforgettable experience. And always feeling so much pressure that this is a very grave observance, and at least let's get the cooking right. So we're always planning and remembering his words, how on his disappearance festival he'll be sitting up in the trees watching what are we cooking, what are we offering him. And he was very preoccupied with Mahaprasadam. And I like to say he was the king of foodies. And so we have to get the bhoga offering right, and our kitchen crew working very hard and trying to be quiet but having trouble because there's a lot going on in the kitchen today. And hoping to please him and remembering that he's watching over us, he's living in the hearts of his devotees, and he would like that we carry on his mission, worshiping his mission, his deities, his devotees, and trying to live within the boundaries and parameters he set for us. And really, like someone like myself, I was made from him. He created me and made me who I am, and I know what he wanted me to do, and I try to maintain that the best I can, and staying within those boundaries, and feeling like if we all try to do this and all try to follow his example of being humble and tolerant and giving honor to everyone and being loving and affectionate and generous to each other, then we can go on in these painful separation moments. So I know all around the world, Gurudev's disappearance will be observed and celebrated, and Gurudev left behind such a magnificent mission, and we're all still somehow fitting under this one big umbrella. And we hope to continue in this way for the rest of our lives. So on this day, we're all here, and together we try to serve and please him and remember him and offer him nice things and worship and flowers and pray that he will be pleased upon us all. Jai Om Vishnu Padchila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai.
Jai to all of his dear devotees and representatives Ki Jai.
Jai.
Tirubhav Mahahotsav Titi Ki Jai.
Jai.
Nitai Go Premanande.
Hare Om, Hare Krishna.
Maybe Ajita say a few words?
Sure.
Ajita Krishna Prabhu.
Я с Гурудевом близко не был знаком вообще, как, я не знал его, не видел, но не был. Я слышал также, что о нем говорят, что он гуру второго шанса, second chance гуру. Я вот обрел этот второй шанс, а он... и хочу его не упустить, служа вам всем.
Short and sweet. Hari Dasi can say something.
О нашем гуру очень много говорят возвышенные вайшнавы. О нем сказали братья гуру Махараджа, что это возвышенный вайшнав. Я так же, как и Аджита, практически видела его несколько раз. Но то, как служит ему близкий круг, это говорит о том, ну, кто он есть. Нам выпала огромная удача быть последователями Маха Бхагаваты. Шрила Гурудев Ки Джай.
Hare Krishna. He will sing. Anyone feels they want to say, you know, strongly they want to say something? Even a few words, doesn't have to be long.
Actually, I never knew Srila Govinda Maharaj. And it's amazing for me how person you never saw and never talk with can reveal himself through his associates. And more than anyone in our mission, I feel his presence and he is being glorified by his disciples, because my godbrothers and associates in this mission, and practically the most of them are disciples of Srila Govinda Maharaj. And like every year, every month, I feel what they feel for him. And this feeling, I get a little bit from this. And I never saw him, I never knew him, but I feel this little connection with him. Like he's one of my gurus, definitely.
Hare Krishna. Yes, that once someone said to me, they were complaining about the disciples of Srila Govinda Maharaj. And they said, you know, for them it's like, you know, he controls the rising and the setting of the sun, you know. And I said, yeah, isn't that what we want? That sort of belief? Like, he thought they were too fanatical. So, and once I said to Srila Govinda Maharaj, but in like a loving way, I said, you know, you're such a fanatic for Srila Guru Maharaj, because that's what we both aspired to be. And he liked that, being called a fanatic of Guru Maharaj, and would remind me from time to time, Maharaj, remember when you said I was a fanatical follower? of Srila Guru Maharaj. So I think Guru Maharaj, as a strategy, because Narottam Thakur was Asraya Loya Bhaje Dhare Krishna Nahi Tyaje, something, Akarani Gelo. He says, don't try for Krishna direct, but take shelter of his devotee, because Krishna is irresistibly drawn to his devotees. That's the secret. Even if as a strategy it should be adopted, because that's the sure way to capture Krishna, is to serve his devotee. So Guru Maharaj He, and applying this theorem, you can say, he thought, to get the maximum grace of Saraswati Thakur, to capture him, I'll glorify Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that is Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam, and others, but that particularly. Then I saw, when I got so much praise or love and affection from Srila Gurudev, and I sometimes it would baffle and bewilder me. I think, like, why? What is it that you see, you know, in the presence of so many disqualifications? And like, what is it? Is he just randomly generous to people? Or like they ran out of human beings or something, and he decided to be extra merciful? But he would tell me, it's because of your spreading the glories of Guru Maharaj. That's why. Because you spread the glories of Guru Maharaj around the world, therefore I am dealing with you like this. Then I thought, oh, so the way to his heart is through glorification of Srila Guru Maharaj. But this is a, you know, it's like Vaishnava theory. And, or, you know, what after something's not a theory anymore? Yeah, but, you know, but in, like, principle. When some, I'm saying theory just to help us look at it in another way, but theory that's really a principle being demonstrated. Tad britya britya paricharaka britya britya. Gopi bartur padakamalayo dasa dasanu dasa. Guru Maharaj said, this servant of the servant of the servant, it's not poetry. It's also, in a secondary aspect, it's poetry, but it's not someone who's being clever, is what he's saying. Saying, oh, servant of the servant of the servant. It's not opposing. They're not sentimental words. They're getting flowers. He's saying, but this is the reality of Vaishnava culture. If you see that it's a hierarchy, and at the top are Radha and Krishna. Sometimes we say, Krishna alone is the Supreme Absolute Truth. But other times we say, Krishna is not alone. He has his, and this is so sweet, that the Absolute Truth, like Western, the Absolute, is there an Absolute? There are no Absolutes except this, that all things are relative. Come again? But can they, those are just mind games, word jugglery. What do we say? Conceive of the Supreme Absolute Truth has a better half. How sweet is that? That the Absolute Truth, that not just dry philosophy talking about absolutes and this, that, no. How about the Supreme Absolute Truth is beauty personified, reality of the beautiful, and has a better half. As he is ecstasy personified and irresistibly charming and sweet, he has a better half who's irresistibly charming and sweet to him. That's where devotion comes in. Heart, not just, you know, mystical exploration, but that the heart is capable of producing a certain type of wealth, something even in the heart of a finite soul. They can possess this thing that is so valuable that the infinite can come under the control of the finite. In one sense, it's like a frightening thought. It's shocking. The infinite can come under the control of the finite? Is that a good thing? Maybe, you know, only if that finite is wholly given over, heart and soul, to the infinite. Their interest is one. One in heart. So it's Gurudev. It's impossible to think of him without thinking of heart. Like, he is the personification of heart-to-heart transaction. Like sometimes, I told this man from Venezuela, Srinivas, he doesn't speak a word of English, talking about Espanol. Right? So he'd call up Gurudev, who doesn't speak a word of Spanish. Well, you know, a couple words. You know, right? So That man would call him up, Gurudev would sit there on the phone, and the man would like talk, like venting his heart on, you know, for like 5 minutes in Spanish. And, you know, Gurudev, what would he would just like say, you know, Krishna bless you, Prabhu. Or and that man, he would be ecstatic. He would feel like that they connected on a heart level that was transcending language and everything. Because language doesn't necessarily express the heart. When the mystical, the Brahmar Gita of Radharani, what she's, her loving anger toward Krishna, where she's speaking the Brahmar Gita, which is Guru Maharaj's specialty. Once I asked, he told me he would tell me about it, and you know, and it was getting put off, and I realized we're like in the final days, and is he ever going to? This one particular time, I thought, it's now or never, although that's never true, but the mood of now or never. And I thought, Guru Maharaj, you, and trick by trick, you know, I was saying, talk about something else, but then move a little closer. Then I finally said, you once said that you would, like, explain this to me. And now could be that moment. And Guru Maharaj, he started speaking, and they were all, and all I can say is, abstract fragments of the heart expressing something. It was not understandable. I'm glad that I heard it. He just spoke in fragments about the heart under the pressure of affection. What sort of substance will it yield? That's the whole thing about Krishna consciousness. The heart, when it's under the maximum amount of pressure, what sort of substance will it yield? Love. What sort of love will come from the heart? And Gurudev, those who were privileged to be on his veranda, one thing you can say, like, he pressed everybody's heart to the max, to like, you know, the verge of death and then some. That's sometimes I would think when upon while losing my mind, then I thought, like, is he preparing us for the pastimes of Krishna? Because this is too much. I thought, we can't, nobody can take it anymore. We're always on the verge of death and then some. Or going and then just being brought back from the dead. And then I thought, he must be preparing us for the past. That's the only way I can adjust this. He's preparing us for the pastimes of Krishna someday in the distant future. Because this is unbearable. I thought, if it's this unbearable while he's here. So, and he liked to do that. So someone can say, such a cruel master. He's breaking everybody's... He didn't wait till he's gone. He's breaking our hearts in his presence and seems to be enjoying it. And they say, why does Krishna remove himself from the rasa leela? They've waited millions of lifetimes for this opportunity, and everyone's so happy that and fortunate to be participating in it, then Krishna vanishes. And everyone's plunged in an ocean of separation. And he's the cause of it. He made them love him this way and then removed himself. And their thinking and their loving anger, that they don't like that. It's objectionable. But they have no other shelter. And that's what we learned from Guru about Krishna consciousness. It's heartbreaking stuff. The ultimate heartbreaking stuff, actually. But when the heart is broken, then it's open to being filled with the superior substance that's practically indescribable. That's we can only understand, get a hint of, by what's being expressed by the devotees. They're venting some kind of loving anger that Krishna says is so sweet. It steals my ear from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. Generally, we think scriptures are full of glorification about God. right? Saying good things about him. Our higher scripture, they're saying other things. These gopis, Radharani, they're upset. When they're upset, then the real stuff comes out. Bahi Vishajalahoi Bhitore Anandamoy Krishna Premer Adbhuta Charit. And that's what's capturing Krishna. That type of hot love and affection. It's like, what did he say? Guru Maharaj said like it's a nectar biting. It's nectar biting, no sting. And there are hints of this in the beginning of the Bhagavatam when Krishna's promised he won't take up weapons in Bhagavad Gita. He will only drive Arjuna's chariot. It won't be fair if he starts fighting. He's omnipotent. So that seems like a deal. Saying, on account of my omnipotence, I won't fight. I'll just drive the chariot. Arjuna says, then we'll win. Just with you as my driver, we'll win. That's only a devotee could understand that and not choose all the weapons, armies, and everything. I just want Krishna. And Krishna won't fight. But, so Krishna's vowed, I will not fight. I give you my word as the supreme, we know, supreme absolute truth never lies. If you mean Krishna conception, well, let's talk. So then, happens? Krishna, they're fighting back and forth. And their days, they fight till sunset. Then the parties meet. And they go, well, you guys were fighting really good today. Oh, you showed some valor yourselves. Yeah. And they just exchange. They talk about stuff. If you want, we'll just say you won with no fight. How about that? No, Kshatriya, they can never accept that. We're willing to say you won. No, no. But anything you want, and who is that? Bhishma, they said, there was one favor you did owe me. Oh, then what? You'd like to say now, call that favor, you win, and we'll give you that. He said, no, not that exactly, but he said, well, actually, it's the inverse. Krishna's telling that to, who is it? Bhishma. Bhishma Dev, he's being told, you're not fighting to your full capacity because you have affection for Arjuna and the Pandavas. That's the accusation. So you're not fighting full strength. We've noticed that. And it's starting to show. And being insulted like that, he said, I got 5 arrows here with the names of the Pandavas on them. Tomorrow they will all be dead. Think I'm not fighting full strength. When they have this nightly meeting, Krishna, I have a request. Whatever you want. He said, you have 5 arrows? I'd like those 5 arrows. Presents the 5 arrows. Now he's really being pressed. And then they all look at him like he made this big, boastful pronouncement. What did he say? Tomorrow Arjuna dies. Or Krishna breaks his vow. The only thing that will save him is if Krishna takes up weapons. And he vowed he won't. Tomorrow Arjuna dies. That time comes, Krishna driving their chariot, they're fighting, the chariot crashes, wheel broken off, lying on the side, and Bhishma Dev coming, shooting, he's going to kill Arjuna, and there's nothing Krishna can do to stop it. So what does he do? He picks up the wheel of the chariot, Eka Chakra, And so he's breaking his vow, and he's coming after Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev is so ecstatic. He's shooting arrows at Krishna, and they're hitting Krishna. And because Bhishma Dev is a great devotee of Krishna, what did he do? He broke his own vow to keep intact. Bhishma Dev said, I'm going to kill Arjuna, or Krishna will have to take up weapons. So now Krishna is a liar for the glory of the devotee. And we're told, what are those arrows like? It's a, they're like flower garlands. It's like he's offering, garlanding Krishna, another one, another one, another one, another one. As they're like, that's bite, nectar bite, no sting. Just, and Bhishma Dev, seeing Krishna, he's so angry, carrying the chariot wheel to crush Bhishma Dev because he's going to kill Arjuna. And Krishna's dhoti falls off. So now he's naked. He's so angry and rushing with that wheel. He's going to crush him. And Bhishma Dev shooting the arrows. And what are we told later on his deathbed, when Bhishma's lying on the bed of arrows, what does he say? That person who is the lover of the Braja Gopis, Krishna, when I'm leaving the world, I just, that image of him coming after me, holding that chariot wheel, coming to like crush me, let that be the final object of my vision as I leave this world. And I know who he really is. He's the lover of the Braja Gopis. It's not unknown to me. Don't think like that. So that's Krishna. He always puts the devotee in the superior position. Tasmai deyam dito grajam sa pujo cha yata yaham. Saying, so whatever you do for me, you can do that for my devotee, and that makes me even happier. So that's how I used to think when Gurudev would, like Krishna-like, put his servitors through the ringer, you know, their hearts, tear them apart, break them open. And they seemed at like then some kind of strange, peculiar wealth is visible in them. And that's what you see when you hear from the disciples of Srila Gurudev and their affection for him, their remembrance of him is their hearts are, have some peculiar type of wealth, of divine love in there. Krishna Prema Bija Pradam. So Guru Maharaj is put in his pranam. He's distributing the seeds of Krishna Prema. But the way he did this was by making them so attached to him. That cannot be denied. Srila Govindam, he made all the devotees attached to him. Sometimes I used to think like, why are you doing this? Going to kill everyone with this. And you see, yes, that's what he's doing. Killing everybody by their love and affection to him, just breaking all bonds to everything else. Yeah. And like what you say about one, somebody's like, her parents gave her to me. And I'm like, they did? That's it. It's over. Her parents gave her to me. Or other things, you'd say many things like that. And then you realize, if you're so fortunate that he said that about you, that's your ticket. Then he'll drag you kicking and screaming into the spiritual world, beyond your own capacity, your ability for spiritual practices and this, that, and the other thing. By your love and affection to him, he will drag you into that zone. Because you, basically, the devotees fell in love with Gurudev. Who is Krishna? Who is that? They're not, maybe don't know so much. Doesn't matter. Because of their love and affection for him, they're being pulled into that plane where you awaken and see there's Radha, Krishna, Lalita, everything. That's his mercy to all of his disciples who he sees as Bhav extension gifts of Guru Maharaj to assist him in his service to the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj. So where are you going to find a more or loving master?